We're talking about the war on poverty. We're talking about the revitalization of Frenchtown. We're talking with Michael Phillips, FSU Credit Union. He'll be our guest in the second hour. And then I have a conversation with Tim Center, Executive Director for the Capital Area Community Action Agency and their war on poverty. You stay with me. This is going to be great.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out and truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Better liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Welcome aboard, my friend. Glad to have you along for another exciting adventure as we journey down this river of life called Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I will be your humble servant as we are moving through these rather curious and ever self-revealing waters. This riverway, this passage to another place and another time. Never knowing what may be around the bend. Just because you'd rather not know, I suppose, even if you could know. Discovering for ourselves who we are, why we're here, and what we are really all about, what we're worth. What do we bring to the mix? How are we perceived by the outside world? You know, I mean, when I got here in 1978, I thought I'd gone back in time. I mean, I knew I was in a different time zone. I just didn't know it was like 30 years difference, because everything just looked like the 1950s. I mean, Frisch's Big Boy was the most celebrated restaurant in town. God bless them. First place I ever ate in Tallahassee was at Frisch's Big Boy. It's long gone, but those of you who are old enough to remember such things, you probably would be chiming in there with me. Yeah. Right? And, of course, the Brown Derby and the Silver Slipper and, you know, all that jazz. But that was, you know, 35 years ago, better. 36, 7, 8 years ago. And here we are in 2016, faced with this new Tallahassee as it's coming about. By design, maybe by accident, maybe by a sort of critical mass, there's a kind of interactivity, a synergism that comes about when individually we have various ideas and we advance those ideas, and that sparks additional thought. Somebody decides to organize around something like a Tallahassee Music Week, or maybe they decide to take a lot of money and revitalize a shopping mall that is on its last leg. And maybe it's somebody that starts an organization that's focused upon reshaping and revitalizing a segment of our community. That's kind of what's going on in Frenchtown. Not just kind of, right? lots of people involved in this question about Frenchtown. And people like Rick Kearney, who, if you don't know, there's a guy who puts his money where his mouth is. And that's a pretty big mouth. I mean, we got homeless shelters and homeless apartment, you know, residential facilities for homeless families, individuals. There's the Renaissance Center that houses, you know, much of the city's business right there in Frenchtown. All kinds of thought and effort going in, having gone into bringing life to this community. And I will talk with you at length about this throughout the show today because, as it turns out, it's good timing. And it's a topic that is always about us. And if you didn't catch this earlier in the week, there's interest now in South City. Another example where the population, the residents of South City are oftentimes faced with the similar kinds of problems, sort of disenfranchised from the larger and maybe feeling some of the and experiencing some of the disadvantage economically and socially, or besieged with crime and drugs and such. And so they're trying to find a way, and this has come up again because there are opportunities afoot. There are ideas being proposed as to development of these older neighborhoods in South City. Well, immediately, one of the questions that comes up is expressed in the form of one word, and that being gentrification. Okay, so if you haven't Googled this lately, gentrification essentially comes down to the displacement of, we'll call it indigenous, or at least a current resident population of people, people who have grown up in a given neighborhood or section of town and with all good intentions, let's say, we'll assume that for the moment, that the intentions are good. Developers come in, revitalize the neighborhood, but nobody can afford to live there anymore. The rents are higher. Can't afford to have a business there anymore. And so those folks then realize that they've got to move on and move somewhere else. And that has happened historically. It's happened a lot around the country in various places where a city decides, well, you know, we should clean all this up. And some of that happened with the whole business development of Gain Street area, often referred to as the All Saints District, right? There's been wrestling over what that should be named or how we should think of it. But I always think of it as kind of the All Saints area because a lot of those streets are named for saints, right? Right. Anyway, I don't know that it was anybody named St. Gadsden, but that's beside the point. Did I say Gadsden? I meant Gain Street. Sorry. St. Gain Street. Didn't happen. Okay. Move on. Here comes this business of Frenchtown. And when you look at somebody like Keith Bowers, Keith Bowers has, for his career, been involved in economic development. Many of you know Keith's work through SBA, Small Business Administration. His office is working through Florida A&M. Well, Keith looked at Frenchtown, and he was in touch with R.B. Holmes, a pastor at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. They catch the idea. They get this vision of how, in fact, the local residents could be better served rather than simply outside developers coming in and redefining or refurbishing. The notion is making it available to local residents to improve for themselves, develop for themselves the very skills that are needed and the resources financial resources that they need in order to advance themselves in business, to advance themselves individually. So we're going to learn about that today. We're going to have Michael Phillips with us in the second hour. He's with FSU Credit Union. And we're going to take a moment to listen to a conversation I had 2 years ago with Tim Center, who is the executive director for the Capital Area Action Agency, an agency that in its inception was born out of the programs initiated by LBJ, President Johnson's war on poverty. So we're going to learn a little bit about that war and how that's been going from Tim Center. And then we want to pivot to the conversation with Michael Phillips. That's the show today. I think you're going to find it very interesting, and we're going to learn a lot about this effort that is going on between FSU Credit Union and Envision Credit Union in partnership with Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Great example of collaboration over competition and an investment in our community. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, my name is Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have an anticipated guest sitting with me. We couldn't cram in all the information we had previously, so Heath Blackburn has come back. We're going to talk about the great, big, giant world of information technology, something I'm so familiar with, the, the worldwide interweb. And he is going to tell us a little bit more about how he can staff those positions for business people that are out there, because he works with Tech System. Yeah. Thanks for being back, Heath.
Well, thanks for having me, Miriam. It's great to be here.
When we left off last, we were talking about the kinds of positions
right
that need filling, because whether you sell shoes or you make cupcakes, once you start thinking, gosh, I need an app.
Sure.
Once you start to think, I need an interface that's going to be virtual so it connects to my real world, that's when they need to reach out to you. Am I right?
Well, exactly. When they have positions where they're trying to connect out, that's one thing. But a lot of the trends that we're seeing here in the Tallahassee area are internal applications. People want to be able to run their modules for their time and expense. They want to be able to access their network via the cloud. They want to be able to log in from a coffee shop and not have to be physically sitting at their desk every single day.
Right.
So we are dealing with customers that are constantly upgrading their systems and trying to access these different access points, and their network is going down and they need support for that. So it's very fascinating the amount of IT information technology staff is needed in different organizations.
So your job is you are doing kind of two things. You're finding out what problems a business person is facing, and then you go out and you find the person that's going to fit that hole,
that
right?
That is 100% correct. Okay. And a lot of people just think, oh, IT staffing, right? You just find out all these, oh, we have a position, let's just throw it out there to 800 vendors and see what comes back. You nailed it on the head, Miriam. I go and I talk to these businesses. That's why communication is so important. Talk to me. Hey, what's keeping you up at night? Like CIO, CFO, CTO, CEO, what are you doing that's missing the mark here with your attracting and retaining your top talent? I mean, do you have a strategy that's around that? How do you find your people? I mean, how do you keep them engaged? I mean, it's definitely That's my number one goal.
You stay in the process so you can help that business owner retain that person once they're hired and once they've learned the business that they're in.
For sure.
That's so important.
Well, that's the number one thing. It's, yeah, let's get them in the door, but 9 times out of 10, these people are placed and forgotten by other companies that we've did the research. People, consultants really like it when they're not placed and forgotten. So whether you're on contract, whether we do a contract to hire model or a direct placement, we're contacting these people we've placed at your business, and we're making sure they're fine.
Right.
The number one thing that consultants want in this workforce, and this goes not just for IT, with everybody, is consistent feedback. People want to know how they're doing. And sometimes in IT, and what we've seen in IT is people are so busy, they can't give that consistent feedback to their people. And so that's where it's a quick phone call. Once a month, we stop business and we call all of our consultants, we call all of our clients and our customers and see, oh, how's John Smith doing on project A, B, and C? Oh, okay, well, he's missed a couple days. Well, let's talk to John Smith about that. Let's see what happens there. In Tallahassee, there's no getting around it. It's state work. I mean,
yes.
State work drives Tallahassee right now. So it's all the departments sending out RFQs or requests for quotes, and they're trying to get bids on different projects, different things happening. 6-month contracts, 2-year contracts. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot that goes on. Of course,
and the universities too.
And then the universities too. That's another portion.
You mentioned something when we were off the air about Tallahassee being a test city. What are you talking about?
So they're doing an initiative called Tech Hire.
Tech Hire.
And so okay. Tallahassee has been chosen with a few other cities around the country. And I'm not 100% sure about all the details. I encourage anyone to go look it up, please. it's been given resources to invest in infrastructure around IT and information technology.
For the city, it's
mainly for the city, for the city of Tallahassee.
So would that be like the buses that run internet on them? I know some of the city buses around campuses are Wi-Fi.
I'm not 100% clear on all the initiatives. I know there is a big initiative for Wi-Fi right now.
Gain Street
Wi-Fi.
Whole area.
It started with the Cascades Park. It started with those access points there, and then they're actually expanding that onto Gain Street, and they're trying to make more Wi-Fi hotspots in Tallahassee to better serve the people of Tallahassee with infrastructure and different access points.
Nice. That's terrific.
It's really cool.
And that is they are providing resources for us to do that here in Tallahassee?
I mean, they're providing the capabilities to access those Wi-Fi access points, yes.
That's
a big project. There are other projects, too. Please, I implore to go look at it further.
Tech Hire,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask you about as far as the way it impacts North Florida. You said their unemployment rate is under 3%.
That's IT. IT as a whole.
So I'm assuming that you're bringing good employees into our city.
For sure, yeah.
Is that going on?
The benefit of tech systems is, like I said, we work on a referral-based strategy. So, one of our biggest customers, they're a manufacturing company, and they have manufacturing facilities all across America, and they support their local IT from this area, right? So if a bakery in Oregon has a issue getting onto a password, they call and they get their IT support here locally. Sometimes when they're implementing big, giant ERP systems for their modules and different things that they have to accomplish, the talent's not here in Tallahassee. It's not. So we access our database that has over 80% of the IT workforce across the country. So we know when people are on, like where their contract is, what kind of contracts they had before, and we know, how much money they want to make, where they want to be. We know we support Wells Fargo, North Carolina, we do Bank of America, we do Sony, Tech Systems is a nationally known company that supports these big brands and these big projects. And so we were able to bring that talent.
I can imagine how that would help our community because want to scale down. You have people that want to move out of a certain city and move into a place like Tallahassee.
For sure.
And they're already within the system.
Well, yeah. See, I'm from here, and so my biggest sell was like, hey, it's a great place to raise your family, right?
Exactly.
You got people, you got great universities, you have people who love college football. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's the growing community of active people is really thriving here.
Right.
And that's a good selling point when I'm talking to these people that are in Dallas or Atlanta or in Orlando.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, let me, once again, we have
always
completely out of time. And I want to encourage everybody listening, if you're there and you have a question for Heath or anyone on his team, you can find them just by Googling Tech Systems, T-E-K Systems. Whether you're here in Tallahassee or you're abroad, Heath, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Miriam.
It's a fascinating, growing topic. And I think we'll be back as you grow.
Well, yeah, I'm available in Tallahassee. I mean, if anyone wants to meet with me, I'm available for lunch. Let's set
Perfect.
It up. Let's do that.
Everybody reach out. He's buying, by the
way.
This is Miriam Dady, and thank you for being here for Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Frenchtown is a fairly tight-knit community dating back to the 19th century, which at one time featured robust businesses, grocery stores and restaurants, drugstores. That was decades ago. Here about 3-4 months ago, a local writer for the Tallahassee Democrat, Tamarin Waters, wrote about this, Frenchtown's history. And I'm reading from that article in part, and she says, the predominantly black neighborhood sits in the shadow of downtown Tallahassee and the state capitol, where power plays are exchanged and multi-million dollar projects take shape. The opposite is true in Frenchtown, an area that has been besieged by crime, drugs, and poverty. Many have left, leaving behind vacancies and opportunity for economic development. So that was dated June the 27th of this year. Tamarin Waters, Tallahassee Democrat. So we've begun to dig into this then a couple months ago and wanting to learn more about not just this particular effort, but at large, what's going on in Frenchtown. So there are other efforts. We've talked recently with Michelle Gomez. Now, Michelle, for her part, is involved with and responsible for Kitchen Share, which is a rental facility and houses as well a food business incubator. It's called Heritage Hub. Heritage Hub is home to the Frenchtown Farmers Market. She wrote this to me earlier in the week, which was begun by Frenchtown leaders. Now, this is Michelle Gomez talking here. To improve access to healthy food and economic opportunity in the neighborhood. The Kitchen Share program advances both of these goals, enhancing the potential of minority entrepreneurship while supporting growth of the local food system. Heritage Hub is an economic development program of Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. All of this has brought to mind a conversation I had with Tim Center, and many of you know Tim. He is the executive director for the Capital Area Community Action Agency. What Tim brought to us in that conversation was this realization that the war on poverty was not winning. And he had some very specific comments about that. So I wanted to bring that to you here. We're going to listen to Tim Center, my conversation with him from about 2 years ago. Let's take a listen.
50 years of fighting poverty and the Great Society effort, and we really don't have a lot to show for it in terms of proven programs by themselves.
Yeah.
There's been some great successes, but it's just nothing out there. And when we found one of them that has worked really well.
And for you have, and in that way, you've been able to directly tap into the lives of people who otherwise find themselves disenfranchised and sort of not knowing what to do. Heather.
That's right. That's right. You know, our getting ahead in a just getting by world, not our program, but it's a program that we've brought into the community. And now we've gone through three waves of the class. It's about 3 months long, 2 hours each week with a group of folks who sit around a table working through a workbook together, yeah. having conversations, not a lecture process.
Right.
And the difference is night and day from the beginning of the program to the end of the program with these folks who sit there at the beginning of the day and of the program will say, if you were to ask them, you know, what do you need? Mm-hmm. They might say, I need a job. And that's about all they can because they're dealing with the tyranny of the moment. They are being beaten down by crisis after crisis in their lives, and they cannot see for the life of them the horizon because they're just dealing with everything they're dealing with. And at the end of this entire thing, we will have asked that same question, what do you need? And they will tell you, my family, we would love to be in a single family home or a safe apartment. And this side of town, we would I'd like to have a career that involves sales because I really like working with people, or I'd like to be a teacher. Or I would like, it's not about a job, it's about a career now. And they have a totally different perspective. The crises are still there in their life, but they have now begun to understand how to cope and how to deal with these issues. And then we're going to be in a position then to hopefully help them realize their future story. And I'll give you a quick example. The research basis is out there. It's been implemented in hundreds of communities around the country. But we had a program for several years that was very effective with homeless families. Where the shelter, if a family showed up at the shelter, they separate men from the women, they separate kids from their parents sometimes. And what we were very effective at was this issue of we will find a home for the homeless family, keeping them intact.
Wow.
Now, the value proposition was that we won't only do that, we will actually get them into our self-sufficiency program so that this will be prevented in the future. This won't happen again to them.
Yeah.
The reality was we would solve 100% of their problems regarding the housing, but literally only 3% of them we could get enrolled in the self-sufficiency program to help prevent this. Because once the crisis is taken over and taken care of, they're now moving on to deal with the next crisis.
Hmm.
We had the first two classes of our Getting Ahead program, and we had 65% of those people coming out of Getting Ahead moving into our self-sufficiency program, 3% to 65%. And that's because now they're mentally prepared for what the steps would be necessary for them to make that transformation. And that number would have been higher, but we had about 12% of those folks who actually got jobs while they were in the Getting Ahead program, making them income ineligible for the program. Which is exactly what we're trying to do to begin with. And so 75% success rate, going from 3% to 75% success rate. And it's phenomenal. I mean, we were just looking at our numbers in Jefferson County, for example. Mm-hmm. First class, we had three people from Jefferson County in that class. Those three people now have never come back to us for services. They are income ineligible. They've got jobs. They've got a career. They're moving forward. The next class, we had six people out of Jefferson County in that class. Six of those people are independent, on their own,
that's
not coming back.
Cool.
In fact, two of them come back every now and then to drop in to say, how are you doing?
Wow.
As opposed to,
what can you do for me? Yeah.
And we just had graduations in Wakulla County and Jefferson County and Leon County and Calhoun and Liberty County and Gadsden County as well.
Yeah.
And we are hoping that we have, we've done a good job of preparing them for what's going to take would be necessary for those next steps.
Yeah.
And we're doing open enrollment right now because we will be kicking off our new program. The next wave of classes will start actually in the second week of October.
Awesome.
And so it's exciting.
What do you think when you hear people say the government has no business trying to support individuals that are just, it's endemic, you know, they'll never ever get off of the payroll, the public payroll.
I just came back, Brian, from a conference in Washington, D.C., where the purpose of the conference was to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Great Society's War on Poverty, the creation of the Department of Economic Opportunity at the time that was headed up by Sergeant Shriver under the Johnson administration. Yeah. And they showed a documentary that had been filmed in 1967 that had a then must have been maybe a 25 or 26-year-old Billy Graham, who was working in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina area of, and the Appalachians go in that direction, but it, truly having a conversation with Sergeant Shriver with these exact same questions in 1967. You know, what about the people that just keep coming back? What about the folks who won't apply themselves? What about the, and those issues have been with us this entire time.
Yeah.
And it just looks more and more challenging if you think we constantly are going to face with it. But the reality is that there are great programs that government can provide that can help a person develop.
Yeah.
And just public education is probably the easiest one to identify. And so for other folks, there might be a little bit of extra effort that's necessary. And if the program is designed so that the person can develop themselves, you know, it's not giving the person the fish, it's teaching the person to fish.
Yeah.
If we can get to that stage, I think you find a lot of support for that.
Yeah.
From the resource community and the unresourced community, because that's the American dream, right? Our own personal efforts and hard work and a little bit of help from friends.
So there you have comments and conversation with Tim Center. We're going to continue that conversation. Stay with me. I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
American Commerce. Visionary, hardworking, innovative, reaching higher, investing more, giving more. This is American Commerce. It's an ideal that has inspired the world to dream and believe that we can all do better. American Commerce Bank believes just that we can all do better. We can achieve the goals that small business owners aspire to every day, providing these owner-managed businesses with the tools and services they count on, creating opportunity, providing leadership and direction to help them grow, to inspire them to believe in more. This is American Commerce Bank, right here in Tallahassee, and right now offering 2% annual percentage yield on 60-month certificates of deposit. That's reaching higher. That's American Commerce Bank. Online at AmericanCommerceBank.com. Rates are effective as of August 15, 2016, and are subject to change without notice. New money only. Minimum balance $500. APY assumes principal and interest remain on deposit until maturity. A penalty may be imposed for early withdrawal. American Commerce Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. I see.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. A mouthful and a very interesting acronym, but the point is, this is a bureau or an agency that grew out of the whole efforts made back in the mid-60s. The Great Society, the War on Poverty, the Johnson administration, and here we are some, I don't know, 50 or better years later, trying to implement that. You got involved as the director and said, okay, well, how do we intervene in a very practical, very specific way, and let's produce some outcome here that we can step back and go, is this really working? Well, gosh, it has. It is working. And when I think of that, you know, it reminds me, and you may know this young lady, Aretha Jones. Hmm. She is the director of the community, or I guess it's called the Neighborhood Health Centers. There are 7 clinics, okay, 4 in Leon County, 3 in Gadsden County, Havana particularly. Get this. Aretha Jones grew up in Havana picking peas for her grandmother, who lived in a very impoverished situation, not unlike most of her friends and neighbors, who went to school saying to her grandmother, how come all the other kids have all these things and I don't? How come all of our friends and neighbors live in little tiny shacks with dirt floors?
Yeah.
This was her world. So when she's in high school, she resolves, I'm going to do something with myself. Her then boyfriend, soon to be fiance, they get married. He joins the Air Force. They travel the world. And when it comes time for them to settle and raise a family, they both decide to come back to their home in Gadsden County. Puts herself through school, gets her master's in nursing. And now she's the executive director, and her mission is to build these facilities and provide these services aimed at homeless an impoverished people.
Phenomenal.
It That's is incredible. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Our own Mother Teresa at this point.
Absolutely right. Gwen Robinson, who's the director for Gadsden Arts Center over there in Quincy. Mm-hmm. We talked about how do you liberate people from the slave mentality. You know, we talk about slavery in its history. 150 years ago, Leon County, 75% of the population was enslaved.
Mm. Wow.
51% of Gaston County was enslaved.
Wow.
That's not a long time ago.
Right.
What's insidious is the mindset.
Yeah.
So when I hear you talk about this particular program, and it's just one program.
Yeah.
You've targeted, you've zeroed in on that slavery of the mind that says, Brian, you can do differently. Hmm. You don't have to live this way, and we'll help you get there.
Yeah, you know, helping people understand a different paradigm is possible is perhaps one of the greatest things you can do for a person. And my wife and I, when our daughter was 3 years old, we asked her what she wanted for Christmas. And she said, literally, in her entire worldview as a three-year-old child, she looked at the ceiling for a moment and said, a brand new pencil, with a big smile on her face. And we looked at each other like, oh my gosh, you know, are we depriving our child of resources? And, you know, that's what she wanted. And so she got plenty of them for that Christmas. But when she was 4 years old, we asked her the same question, and she said, I would like an iPod Touch. and her worldview, her perspective in life had changed. And we exposed her to a lot. Huh. And to enable her to understand there could be more.
Her expectations.
Right. Yeah. Could be broadened. Now, for many of folks, that's they only know so much, right? And they've only seen so much, and they understand that's how life works. And so therefore, they don't think about what the difference is. And going back to that tyranny of the moment, they can't see the horizon for the waves that keep pushing them and pounding them back onto the surf and onto the sand, because they can't get above it all. So that issue of you know, for her to have that self-awareness, which is really what we're helping. We're creating self-awareness. We're empowering people to understand this is their life. These are their decisions. Letting them understand they can take personal responsibility for what's going on. And also at the same time explaining to them, you know, society's got some weird rules out there in a variety of different things, socioeconomic class and clubs and organizations and middle class values versus poverty values. Mm. And here's how life kind of works a little bit more, things that we kind of take for granted.
Yeah.
But somebody had to teach us which spoon and fork to use at the fancy restaurant, you know, and when you begin to learn these things, and it doesn't, or this getting ahead is not about etiquette, but just as an analogy there.
Right, right.
But the idea is, you know, giving people the resources to understand what's going on enables them to, a year later, or in this case, you know, 16 weeks later, say, you know, I'd like a career. I'd like a job. I'd like an iPod Touch.
Yeah, and I find that interesting too, in as much as you've said this, a big part of what you do is to help folks better understand, and maybe for the first time, embrace the rules that govern, we'll call it white collar work versus blue collar work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go out, I dig a ditch. You told me to dig the ditch. I did it. And now you want me to dig it again. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But in a professional setting, in an office setting, in a business setting where I've been asked to write a memo or some sort of document I needed to compose, it's subject to review and editing. So then for that individual who's not used to that sort of scrutiny.
Right.
They have to realize that's just part of how it works.
This is how life is, and they don't want to be disrespected or felt like they're being disrespected, because it's, to them, it's the only thing they've got going for them. And so if you take the time to go through that and explain to them why certain typos can't be permitted to leave the office on a thing, and they begin to understand, they begin to be very respected.
Yeah.
They get to buy in. They get to feel like they're part of the organization. And all of a sudden, you've got probably a win-win situation.
You know, in our business, we find it remarkable that the interns who work with us, granted they are students, But one of the biggest challenges we find is in helping them create and compose and assemble. And in a marketing agency like ours, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
And they find it a bit, uncomfortable. And I suppose none of us really like it, but I noticed that if we evaluate the work they've turned out and we ask for another revision, and it may be three or four revisions, they don't like it. They
Nope.
they want to be able to turn something out and say, hey, I did it. What's the problem?
Right.
And move on.
Right. And yeah, it's one of my favorite lines, of course, is I would have written, I would have been more brief if I had had more time.
Exactly. Right.
One of my favorite on that, and I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but Kissinger was evidently an amazing editor. And he had, there was a young analyst who wrote a paper for him.
Yeah.
And gave it to him to review. He gets it back the next day from Kissinger with just the simple note across it. Is this the best you can do? And the guy looks back, re-edits it, reworks it, brings it back to him. Next day, gets it back from Kissinger. Is this the best you can do? And then finally hand delivers it to Kissinger. And Kissinger just looks at it and goes, is this the best you can do? And the guy says, yeah. He goes, good, I'll read it now.
Talking with Tim Center from about 2 years ago, economic impact on impoverished neighborhoods. We're going to continue in this same line of thinking when I bring Michael Phillips to you here in just a minute. FSU Credit Union, in collaboration with Envision Credit Union and Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking hard ourselves. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out to trucks.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is alive and well, sailing along this river of delight as we discover better for ourselves Tallahassee and all that it's talking about this week. You know, we are coming to you from the Moose Magnificat Studios right here in Tallahassee. Moose Magnificat is an online radio station. And we are delighted to be able to be a part of that whole endeavor. Moose Magnificat brings you every day, all day long and all night long, the sound of Tallahassee. How do you get there? Well, moosemagnificat.com is your destination. And when you get there on your phone or on your laptop or on your tablet or your PC or your iPhone, whatever you're using, get there, hit the listen button, and you're going to hear original songs from Tallahassee musicians. Mm-hmm. New 76ers, Del Suggs, Drew Tillman, Jerry Thigpen, Frank Douglass, Sarah Mack, Sway Javu, they're all there. And they're all playing their original songs. Yeah, this is the sound of Tallahassee. If you don't like the sound of Tallahassee, don't do this. You will not like Moose Magnificat because that's what it is. It's local artists playing original songs all the time. And we blend in outtakes from conversations that I've had with some of these folks, like Sarah Mack. So you get to learn more about the artists themselves. That's kind of cool. MooseMagnificat.com. Do yourself a favor. Enjoy it. Because it's online, we have listeners in Brazil and Austria and Miami and Seattle and all over the world that are tuning in for whatever reasons. They like the music. They like Tallahassee. They're curious. They want to learn more. It's happening. It's happening. MooseMagnificat.com. And you know what we're going to do? Think about this for a minute. At some point, hopefully sooner than later, we're going to take Moose Magnificat on the road and do a stage show at local vintage theaters. Like The Leaf over there in Quincy, or Monticello Opera House, the Dixie Theater in Apalachicola, Goodwood Museum here in Tallahassee. These four vintage theaters that are all part of the real Tallahassee. Tallahassee being much bigger, broader, deeper, diverse than perhaps we've given her credit. And when we bring Moose Magnificat to you live on stage, you're going to get local musicians playing their original songs and stories and humor, skits, all kinds of stuff to make you laugh, to make you cry, to help you see better and hear better who we really are. That's what I care about. Because, see, I don't think you can really do or accomplish anything in life until you start with that fundamental question. Who am I? Now, others have said that that's in companion with knowing why you're here, right? Okay. So knowing who you are and why you're here, right? I also think you need to know what you bring. What is it about your contribution that is particularly unduplicated? Well, every single one of us can say, there's only one of me. That's it. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's a fact. So while you may be a musician or an artist or a teacher or an engineer or selling cars or selling computers or changing diapers, there's only one person who does it just the way you do it. That would be you. And I think that's worth celebrating. I do. And I like celebrating the fact that you're not me. And you have much to be grateful for, right in right there with that thought. Come on, it ain't easy being me. So with that, Moose Magnificat brings us that kind of intent, that direction. We want to think about who we are, what we're worth, and why we're here as presented on stage. So stay with me on that thought. I will keep you posted as developments occur toward that end. And if you want to get involved in helping us to produce that show, absolutely. Of course. So email me, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's a great email address for you to keep on hand. And speaking of on hand, I've got all kinds of other things going on around me here that I have to tell you about, especially this work that we're going to learn more about, this Frenchtown Credit Union. They call it the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. I got Michael Phillips coming in here momentarily to share with us about that. Also, something very cool, our good friend, a friend of this community, Jim Croteau, is retiring. And so the new director, Rick Miner, who is heading up Second Harvest of the Big Band, he has sent out this news release that's inviting all of us to a November 3rd observance, a kind of gathering there to wish our good friend Dr. Jim Croteau much continued success and good life and all, l'chaim, as we would say. And so that's happening on the 3rd of November. We'll try to bring you some more details on that. And with other activities, I've got Andrew Rybeck standing by with what's going on this week. Andrew?
All right, so there's an annual fall festival going down this Wednesday, the 26th, at Dr. Brian Burnett Chiropractic. The festival will consist of food, games, pumpkin carving, an outdoor movie, and, of course, a costume contest. This event is going to be from 6 to 9 at 1108 Hayes Street. And then Brian touched briefly on this last week, but there's a two-day beginning blacksmithing workshop next Saturday and Sunday, the 29th and 30th, at the Tallahassee Museum. This is exactly what it sounds like. The museum's part-time resident blacksmith, Michael Murphy, will teach you everything that you'll need to know. You'll have the chance to operate a traditional coal-burning forge as well as a more modern propane-burning forge. You'll be able to take all your creations home with you, and don't worry, you don't have to go breaking out your pickaxe because they're going to provide all the materials for you. And lastly, I just want you all to be aware that every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., there is a farmer's market located at the Market Square Pavilion on Timber Lane Road. And that's what you'll be doing this week. For Tallahassee Talks, I'm Andrew Rybeck.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In 1954, a group of individuals associated with Florida State University formed a credit union. And as they did so, they laid the groundwork for an organization that in its history has been known as the FSU Credit Union. It has continued to progress and evolve and change and adapt as it's gone forward in offering a wider range of services and looking for opportunities to embrace even a wider group of members. What originally was intended for FSU-related staff and, you know, faculty and students later became available to a much larger group of people that encompasses a lot of folks who happen to live in Leon County and thereabouts. And so here we have FSU Credit Union now engaged in an operation, a program, an initiative that has been identified as the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. And I've asked our friend Michael Phillips, who is Vice President of Administration for FSU Credit Union, to join us. Good morning, Mr. Phillips.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm pleased that you have made it possible for us to have conversation, given that there's probably a bit of work waiting for you back there at the at the stable, where you got chickens to feed and cows to milk and all that kind of thing, right?
There is, but this is really good stuff. It's important to talk about.
Well, appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. We've found ourselves in the middle of this conversation here about a month ago, mm-hmm. because we keep hearing more and more about this organization, FSU Credit Union, and this initiative, the Financial Opportunity Center, and other works being done in and around Frenchtown. Mm-hmm. Michelle Gomez has been popping up on our day timer and has worked this whole food-based incubator thing. And we're getting to know her better. In fact, I've got Michelle scheduled to be with me here in a few weeks, I think about the middle of November. Mm-hmm. For me, the topic is rich with all kinds of interesting questions about how organizations come together make things work better in ways that are more effective, more efficient, more productive. And now this effort, the Financial Opportunity Center, came about only recently. So it looks like you had a soft opening back there in June. But here we are in October. So then you had your ribbon cutting in July. You guys are pedal to the metal at this point. I mean, it's all working.
It is. It is. We're open and we're fully functional. It's been a good experience so far. We have great expectations there, but it's not without a lot of effort. Really wouldn't have come together without Bethel Missionary Baptist on Tennessee Street. I mean, it was really their vision that many years ago to serve the Frenchtown community with financial services. And they were really tempted to try to put something together themselves. Eventually looked for some outside partners to come in and join in their mission to serve the community. And so we and Envision Credit Union had this remarkable opportunity to come in and work with the church to put this whole concept together and bring it about and make it reality. So it's been a lot of effort. The opportunity was because of Bethel. And but then beyond that, it's the heart and the desire of the two credit unions here, FSU Credit Union and Vision, that really wanted to put into practice and have, but really wanted to put it into practice as people helping people, this credit union movement, in a new way. And so coming together at this particular location at this time was unique. It can be replicated, but tremendous possibilities are here. You know, it's been interesting.
It has been interesting, and I think it's interesting at a number of levels. I think that it begs the question how two credit unions would find collaboration over competition to be the avenue of choice. How did that come about? I mean, you guys had to kind of lay down your arms and shake hands, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and credit unions are uniquely, I think, disposed to being able to do that. The real purpose is really people helping people. When people understand that credit unions are financial cooperatives, all of the members own the credit union. And when we're about really serving people in the community, and you get that focus in front of you, it brings about unity that gives you this chance to work together to bring that to fruition. So that kind of unity, that common purpose of helping others, brought this collaborative effort together to just go and be and serve the Frenchtown community.
And those services, you're talking about the role that Bethel played at a seminal level. I mean, the vision started there, I guess, with Reverend Holmes.
Absolutely.
And what an individual he is.
Yeah.
Who I mean, along with whomever are part of his team, that guy has made some significant contributions to this.
No doubt. I mean, I have at the grand opening in July, we had a chance to really talk with members of the church and people in the community there. But some of the discussion points during that grand opening that were just going on at a personal level were things like, what if Bethel had never existed? Huh. Think of the impact the Frenchtown community, because they have existed.
Yes.
What would things be like if they never had?
Yeah.
And so that's in and of itself a great study to look at. But this was just one of the many visions that they had for the community. Mm. And they were very passionate about bringing it about.
Mm.
And we shared in their vision. And it was a great opportunity. Mm. So,
talking with Michael Phillips, he's the Vice President of Administration for Florida State University Credit Union, or should I just say FSU Credit Union. And he is our guest today as we're talking about the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
American Commerce. Visionary. Hardworking. Innovative. Reaching higher. Investing more. Giving more. This is American Commerce. It's an ideal that has inspired the world to dream and believe that we can all do better. American Commerce Bank believes just that. That we can all do better. We can achieve the goals that small business owners aspire to every day. Providing these owner-managed businesses with the tools and services they count on. Creating opportunity. Providing leadership and direction to help them grow. To inspire them to believe in more. This is American Commerce Bank, right here in Tallahassee, and right now offering 2% annual percentage yield on 60-month certificates of deposit. That's reaching higher. That's American Commerce Bank. Online at AmericanCommerceBank.com. Rates are effective as of August 15, 2016, and are subject to change without notice. New money only. Minimum balance $500. APY assumes principal and interest remain on deposit until maturity. A penalty may be imposed for early withdrawal. American Commerce Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Michael Phillips. This little thing that they cooked up, they call it Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, is our topic as we consider how two credit unions, FSU Credit Union and Vision Credit Union, locked arms and had this triad relationship then with Bethel Missionary Baptist Church under the leadership of R.B. Holmes. So apparently the vision started there with him. He reached out to Keith Bowers, who is with SBA, right? Small mm-hmm. Business Administration there at FAM, mm-hmm. FAMU.
Yeah.
Keith gets engaged in it and begins to help you all come together. And mm-hmm. so he might be considered sort of the architect, I guess, or certainly one of the drivers.
Timing is everything. Keith, with this Small Business Economic Center there, was at the Jim Rand Institute and happened to have an encounter with Chuck Adcock of the FSU Credit Union. And the two of them were talking about who they were, what they were doing, what opportunities there were in front of, mm-hmm. of one another. And Keith brought this whole opportunity before Chuck. And Chuck said, mm-hmm. this is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat when you have some of your own ideas and you have some things that you like to do, but then all of a sudden the opportunity presents itself.
Right.
And you've got to respond to it. You've got to act to it so that you don't have a missed opportunity and then have regrets later on. So
right.
I remember when Chuck brought this to the management team and later to the board, as did Darrell Worrell at Envision Credit Union mm-hmm. and his board. Mm-hmm. But the discussions, were the enthusiasm in the discussions was immediate. Everybody was really thinking, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. How can we pull this off?
What was it about it initially that was so cool?
Well, it's really and truly the mission has been at the credit union of FSU Credit Union. The tagline is maximizing members' financial well-being.
Huh.
And in a credit union that's growing, we're not losing that focus. The focus is staying very much so at maximizing members' financial well-being.
Kind of
at the ground level. It's a ground level, grassroots kind of thing.
I got you.
And seeing that there was a need in the Frenchtown community, and us believing from the outside that we might be able to bring about some effective change there, it was like, this is a chance to kind of put things into action that we talk about.
Yeah, and so this wasn't you having to go outside of your manifesto, your mission statement.
Yeah.
This is your mission.
It is.
It's an extension of that same mission. So you're just right in the flow of that.
It is. Yeah. That's right. And it's...
But on this occasion, then, you find yourself with an opportunity to build this bridge or a partnership, I guess, among the three entities. That in and of itself fascinates me, because I've noticed over the years in this town, competition oftentimes, though it has its own virtue, can get in the way of innovation, or it can get in the way of productivity. So I'm you know, I'm appreciative of how competition is intended in a free market, right, to bring us the best. And yet in this situation, you said, well, these are ideas that we have in common. So it doesn't keep us from being friendly competitors, we'll say, in a market for credit union members. It, in fact, is a sort of extension of our own abilities. And so it sort of serves both endeavors at the same time. You're trying to carry out your mission. At the same time, you're trying to grow your organization. You did both of those things, or are doing both of those things.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, when you're outside looking in, you only have an opportunity to assume what you know. You may have certain impressions and understandings that of what you can do and what most benefit you can have if you do certain things.
Yeah.
But when you're within the community, you have a whole new perspective. And so, you know, lasting change is really something that is from the inside out.
Have you had people say to you, Michael, how did you guys come up with this idea? I mean, what has been the response among your connections and colleagues? And
well, I think the response that everybody has right off the bat is we give the credit to the church to have the vision. They really were the impetus behind all of this, and because we had that common sense of purpose and unity that was coupled then with an opportunity that they provided, we were able to put this into place.
Yeah.
And so we brought our resources in, our own operational resources, you know, the financial resources to come in and help have an operating branch where you can come in and have full services of financial transactions and loans of that matter.
Yeah,
so we came in behind their vision, and that's really the church that started that. But it fit. It's kind of like it was a great fit, because it was a you know, it was a glove that fit.
Right.
It was one that really was one that seemed to be made for us. And so it came together without great effort. It wasn't a struggle. The boards were good with it. They were ready to move forward.
Yeah.
So
was it part of the discussion then at the beginning that this would be aimed at achieving social change of some kind? Was that part of the discussion, that you were interested in trying to reset or helped shape the Frenchtown community?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of that kind of change, we understand that an underserved community can get into a very vicious cycle that is offered to them through things like payday lending, where they're upwards of 200% loans. Very difficult to break from that cycle. It's very tragic to see that going on in your own community. you know, the Tallahassee community includes the Frenchtown community, so you can't assume that they aren't a part of all this. So when you're thinking about where is an underserved part of the Tallahassee community, you several would say, well, look at the Frenchtown community, for example. What can be done there? And you see that many are stuck in this kind of cycle that you feel very passionate about helping them get out of. And so this was this is a chance. It's ongoing. It has started.
Right.
And people are breaking from that cycle, and it's really cool to see the smiles on the faces of people who are being served, because it's bringing about a whole new sense of pride in themselves, in their community, and a sense of ownership in the community. It's really good. So we do think that there it's not a quick fix.
Right.
It's about longevity, and it's about building trust. Mm. So if we stick there, and we prove to be who we say we are, which takes time to do that, the community will start shaping in new ways that may not have been available to them before.
Well, and you've dubbed it the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, mm-hmm. which sort of betrays the intention, mm-hmm. doesn't it, in its name, because it's saying there's opportunity here for you. And so we're going to dig in a little further as we continue in conversation here with our new friend, Michael Phillips, Vice President of Administration, FSU Credit Union. The Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center and what it's representing not only to this community we affectionately refer to as Frenchtown and all of its history, but as well for all of us who consider ourselves part of this Tallahassee community, which, by the way, here's my editorial comment, I think is larger than a few zip codes. I think it actually is more like five or six counties when you want to look at the real Tallahassee. Folks, you stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So once again, we have the opportunity to look at this fair city of ours and ask, what makes Tallahassee different? Here we are in 2016, in which we've discovered this remarkable, in my mind, it's a remarkable creation, Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. We've got Michael Phillips here with us. He's with FSU Credit Union, has been for almost a decade now. He was much younger when he started.
Much less wiser.
Well, and he serves them as their Vice President of Administration. So he speaks with authority when he talks about what it took and what it's taking to bring this about. And it turns out that it was this collaborative, cooperative effort between two credit unions, Envision Credit Union, FSU Credit Union, and the inspiration coming from, remarkably, and so I want to say it's almost poetic that a church brings the vision, the spark, no less Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, which, I mean, this is almost Shakespearean because it points to where we draw inspiration, any of us, how we find our roots, how we find our connectedness. And here we have a church If church doesn't do anything else for us, would it not be that it would inspire us to do greater things for ourselves and for one another? So God bless you all there at Bethel for your determination to be what you are. And God bless FSU Credit Union and Envision Credit Union for hearing that thought, for embracing that thought, and then putting legs to it. And those legs have all kinds of implications. Because as I understand it, Michael, this is an opportunity center. It means that I can have an ATM card, right?
Right.
And I can use that ATM card anywhere in the country, and it is void of any charges. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Using the network that's provided there for those ATM cards, there are thousands of surcharge-free locations where you could go and use your card and do transactions on your account. Very unlike what many folks are used to in the Frenchtown community now, mm-hmm. where they have prepaid ATM cards, and there's a stiff fee up front to get the card, and then there's a hefty fee per each transaction. Mm-hmm. So discovering that there are ATMs that do not cost you anything up front and do not cost you anything by transaction is good news. So it's some more good news that people are beginning to understand, mm-hmm. and it's great to see that. You know, when you see somebody's mm-hmm. eyes light up, that really? There are no fees associated with this? You got to be kidding me.
Which I've heard some people say is the poor man's tax. You know, it's what happens when you aren't able to keep enough in your checking account, and so you pay the NSF fee, you pay the additional monthly fees that somebody who doesn't struggle with income is able to avoid.
Right.
So here you have not just an idea, you have a practical solution. Those solutions include other kinds of services. Talk about what else this Opportunity Center brings.
Yeah, I mean, folks have an opportunity to come in there to Steve Oliver, who's the branch supervisor there, and his team, to sit down without any judgment on good decisions financially in the past or not. They can come in and sit down and have a discussion about real life things in their family that include how much month is left at the end of the money.
Yeah.
And then looking for what to do about it because they're coming up short every month. Mm-hmm. And those kind of stresses in the family are huge. And we believe that there's a real chance to sit down and help folks resolve some of those issues. So when we are able to meet and listen non-judgmentally to individuals on what they've got in their income base, then we can look for ways to consolidate debt. Mm. We look for ways to repair credit. So if somebody has really poor credit, those are the folks that are going to get stuck with the highest interest rates. Well, it's really good to be able to see somebody that began with really poor credit, who worked with us, see them improve their credit scores and go in and refinance loans for them at lower rates that puts more money in their pockets so that they have money that lasts all the way into the next month. And so there are real success stories like that are going on. So sitting down at an individual level, we're able to provide that kind of understanding and bring about an understanding of what could be done with your finances. Then there's also a whole curriculum that's developed around financial literacy. And in partnership with the church, they're our planned financial literacy events where people will be invited to come. Smaller groups may be right there in the branch. Larger groups may find themselves meeting across the street at the Bethel Baptist Church there. A forum where they can ask questions and get answers. and really gain an understanding of what it means to manage their money.
So that cooperative effort includes the church providing use of its facility, maybe mm-hmm. even personnel involved. Envision Credit Union doing the same thing. So in that way, it isn't the burden of any one organization.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bethel folks, I've met a great number of their people. They have some very dedicated people who are very genuine and very interested in serving one another. So, they step up to the plate and say, "Hey, come on, let's figure out how to bring about a better understanding. Use our facility. It's more public value that they've created in their church that we mm-hmm. want to emulate in the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, where it's not just a place to come in and sit down and." Cash a check or just get a loan, but to build a better understanding of how to manage your money and how to repair some decisions in the past and get out of patterns that are destructive. So a lot of public service going on there that's good stuff that will follow those individuals when they leave Tallahassee. Mm. You know, if they've developed a better understanding, they will go and be in a better spot elsewhere without us.
It's called the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, and it is a Tallahassee success story in the making, from my humble observation. Our guest this morning, Michael Phillips, Vice President of Administration, FSU Credit Union, one of the partners in this. Michael, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, more so mine. Thank you very much.
Folks, we love doing what we do, and glad that you're a part of it here each week. I invite you to stay tuned for more from week to week. We bring you all the best and good and cool things that Tallahassee is doing each week, and that's what keeps us in conversation with very cool people doing very cool things. And here we have a good example of that. Our program, Tallahassee Talks, is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny. Our associate producer, Andrew Rybeck. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.